Should be here in a second.
How you doing?
Good.
House Committee on Revenue for June 30th, 2015 will come to order. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 80. We'll hear from Mazin on the conflict amendment, which is the A5 amendment, which you'll find in OLS. And then I'm going to ask some of the those who are of particular interest in this bill to let us know the machinations they went through to get it, and that it's okay if it is. Mazin, do you want to tell us about this conflict amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The conflict amendment, just fitting for the bill, it's only 41 pages. The conflict resolves conflicts with a number of bills. Those are Senate Bill 215, Senate Bill 224, Senate Bill 342, Senate Bill 493, Senate Bill 777, House Bill 2407, House Bill 2408, 2411, and 2412, as well as House Bill 3069, House Bill 3303, and House Bill, finally, House Bill 3524. And just because we changed all of these names and entities and who's doing what to whom, all of these needed to be adjusted accordingly. If you have knowledge or more details, need for more detail, I asked also Dan Gilbert from Legislative Council. He could walk you through more of these definitions and changes, if that's what you please, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
And then after that, we also asked, as you expressed yesterday, as all the university representatives, as well as DAS, Department of Administrative Services, and the State Treasurer to and the DHEC to come and express their views about the bill.
Colleagues, I have just gotten this amendment. I assume some of you have actually had a chance to read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest it. I have not. But it certainly appears to be primarily relabeling of things which in the main bill, where in the main bill either names are changed or functions moved from one agency that's being abolished to a different agency that was invented or discovered a couple of years ago. We're pulling we pulled a number of universities out of the rock that we used to call the Oregon University System, and we're starting to learn what they look like. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mazin, if you could go to Section 224 and tell me how that is linked to Senate Bill 80. And I have the same question on 224, 226, 230, 236, and 238.
Not Section 2, Sub 2,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Section 224.
What page?
Section 13, is it, or 12?
No, just start with Section 224.
Page 5.
I'm way ahead of myself.
Oh, in the amendment, right?
In the amendment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the very beginning of well, no, it is. It's going to amendments to resolve conflicts.
Chair, probably now it's a good time to ask Legislative Council to speak.
Yes, Legislative Council.
Very smooth. <Mazin. laughs>
who may know more about it than Mazin does. You're looking at the page that Representative Benson is inquiring about. And I'm presuming that this bill changes the name and maybe the function of the thing we used to call the Advocate for Minority Women and Emerging Small Business. And it's to something else, but that's a guess.
Chair Barnhart, I believe you're correct, and it's I think the only difference that the conflict amendments have in general, I think what it does is that House Bill 3303, if it becomes law, would make virtually all of these changes, and the only addition that I am seeing right now would be on page 7 in lines 17 through 25, there's a reference to public universities that that I think is just slightly altered. And I believe that is the only change that would be a result of this conflict amendment, assuming that House Bill 3303 becomes law.
Well, let me see if I can translate that. I think what you just said was there aren't any policy changes in the bill, with the possible exception of one minor one in that paragraph.
Chair Barnhart, that's correct. There are no policy change. There are no policy changes in the conflict amendments. That was very much the intent.
Representative Vance,
yeah, sure. And can you point out? I'm just having just seen it, not able to find that link. Where are you looking?
So it. On page 7, the former language said that is being deleted, you know, on public agency and other contract solicitations for professional services, supplies and services, and other bid opportunities in consultation with public universities listed in 352.02, the Department of Transportation, and other entities. And I think it's just shifting. The reference to public universities is just put in a different place here. And I think that was done just because of how this section 200 in section 60 of the Engro Senate Bill 80.
I just rewrites it.
Section 60.
And follow up.
Yes, please.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And if you would be so kind, just take us through.
I'm sorry. So, Chair Barnhart, looking at this on page 49 of the engrossed Senate Bill 80, is the only change that was made in the underlying bill to this section 200.025 was to replace on page 49, line 29, a reference to the State Board of Higher Education with a reference to public universities listed in 352.002. And the way that House Bill 3303 was written, in order to make it work, the final would look like it does starting on page 5 of the conflict amendments. But virtually all of the bold language and all of the changes and policy changes in 200.025 are contained within House Bill 3303 and not this bill.
Thank you. So, again, let me see if I can translate. I think what you've told us is that the bill 3303 changes the name of this agency from Advocate for Minority Women and Entering Emerging Small Business to Policy Advisor for Economic and Business Equity. It's an advocate in either case. But the name got changed in this bill 3303, if I understand it right, and now we're making changes in section 60 to conform to that.
Correct, Chair Brown.
So in this case, this bill is being made to conform to 3303.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
I understand. And then, but I just, if I may, Mr. Chair,
please
have LC take us through the other four areas where it wasn't instantly clear.
Please, go ahead and ask it.
So 226, section 226, and this is, I'm sure if I read it through someplace, we'll see universities here.
226, so again, in section 72 of Senate Bill 80, which is on page 62, You see the only changes that the bill itself makes, that Senate Bill 80 makes to 270.100. Which occur in lines on page 62.
37.
Lines 37 and on page 63, lines 10 and 11. But House Bill 3524 make several additional changes, and what the conflict amendments do is make it so that the changes to the references to Oregon University statement to Oregon University system would work within the changes in 3524.
And now to 230.
Well, if I could, before we move, 3524, the 226 says if the bill does not become law, then this part does. So I think that may be different than what you just said.
Oh, Chair Barnhart,
sure looks like a bunch of stylistic changes.
Looking through, it does look like stylistic changes to me. That would be my understanding.
So you got real active in fixing the old language.
I believe that there were attempts in the bill to fix the old language that we think would make sense to continue.
And so if I can make up something, it sounds to me as though this bill that we're going to deal with, if it does not pass 3524, that bill made those stylistic changes, and you're going to make them here. If that other bill doesn't pass,
Chair Barnhart, that is correct, I believe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, what is the, maybe to put this in context for me, what is the current status of House Bill 3524?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Bence, I do not know what the current status is.
Staff is going to look it up. Okay. Ask you next.
This is actually the same question for section
signed by the governor.
Mm-hmm. It's been signed by the governor. So that's surplus then at this point.
So
is that 3524?
If 3524 has been signed by the governor, then section 226 doesn't go into effect by its own terms.
Why? May I ask a question?
Well, because the bill says if House Bill 3524 does not become law, then we do these other things. Well, if it has become law, then it doesn't do anything, that section.
It was signed in 625.
So just recently.
Just a couple of days.
So you can ignore that section because it doesn't do anything.
No, that doesn't make sense.
Representative Vance?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Could we wait on this and see a fully amended, engrossed bill? I'm completely confused by what's going on, why some of these things are in here and what's left out and what isn't. I mean, I think it would do us all really a lot of good to see it. No.
I completely agree with that. And if it was a month ago, I would certainly take a couple of days to allow people to read this and pull the pieces together and do the cross referencing in your own mind so that you could make it work. Unfortunately, we don't have a couple of days, and so we're going to try to work through it today, getting the key questions out. The vast majority of this bill, as I've read it, simply changes the names of things. It kills some old funds and sets up some new ones, or acknowledges some new ones that have already been set up, and a whole variety of things like that. And there's lots of pages that contain nothing on them except removing the words Oregon University System and inserting the words various public universities according to ORS something or other. And so I don't think the bill is really that complicated. Conflict amendments get very complicated sometimes because they may refer to bills that have nothing to do with the topic we're working on because of the changes that those bills made for some completely different purpose. And the object of a conflict amendment is simply to make sure that when the Oregon Revised Statutes are compiled after the session's over, that LC has the chance to know which piece is a law and which piece isn't without having to refer to when the bill was signed by the governor. Is that a reasonable summary?
Chair Barnhart, that's correct.
Thank you. Representative Benz, would you ask your next?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And section 236 same question, and I probably would find it if I could. It looks as though just before section 237, you incorporate a reference to the heck. Is that the link?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Bentz. So in yes, that is what it looks like. That the heck is added there.
Yes.
And the question, I guess, is the way the amendment is structured.
Yes.
It states if House Bill 2411, House Bill 2412, and House Bill 3069 become law, then this amendment occurs.
Right.
So the assumption is in each case that those bills are going to become law. That's the underlying assumption. If they didn't, then has this amendment taken the place of those bills?
Chair Barnhart, Representative Bentz. No, if it doesn't, then Section 106, as it's currently drafted, would continue to govern.
Section 106 of the.
I'm sorry, of the bill. Which
of the bill as we have it engrossed.
As it is engrossed now.
Okay.
Those are my questions, but I think before we vote, we'll need a recess to go out and discuss it.
Well, I think what I'd like to do is hear from the agencies that participated in the drafting of this thing and get them to bless it if they want to. And maybe you may have questions for them as well. Yeah. And then go talk if we need to. Mazin, tell me who's here that we should be calling.
So probably the first people you want to hear from is the HEC and the DAS and the State Treasurer.
Yes, I think so. That would be wonderful.
Good afternoon.
What we're interested in is is to find out whether, in your view, the bill has been thoroughly vetted, and that the portion of it that affects your operations is doable, and that if there are any policy changes made, explain to us what they are.
For the record, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, Dana Richardson, Deputy Director for Legislative and Policy Affairs at the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Upon our review of the conflict amendments as well as in the development of the bill, we feel confident that Legislative Council has done a very good job of putting together, in spite of its size, a technical bill. I mean, that's really what you need to do to finalize your actions with regard to allowing universities to have their own governing boards. Yes, there are substantive provisions around bonding, which I would defer to my colleagues on. But within the bill and within the conflict amendments, I think they've done a good job of maintaining the technical changes of Senate Bill 80 and carrying forward policy decisions that you made in a variety of other bills this session.
And I assume previous sessions as well.
And previous sessions.
Thank you.
Hi. For the record, Laura Lockwood McCall from the State Treasurer's Office. As Dana has said, this was the technical bill. So all the policy decisions that were brought to the legislature were contained in House Bill 3199, which passed unanimously on the House floor this morning, which was great. Didn't feel good.
Right.
So we're fine with the bill in the bonding.
Now that was
sections.
The bonding bill we passed.
That was
earlier,
the policy part of the changes, right. And from the very beginning, the working groups broke away and said, "You do the technical stuff. If there's any policy calls, they go in my bill and not into this bill." So we don't see anything in the conflict amendments as well that really changed our perspective.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Bill McGee, the Department of Administrative Services. We have the same perspective on the bonding parts of the bill. We believe that these are appropriate and the bill works for us.
Including the conflict amendment.
Including the conflict amendments.
Thank you. All right, questions for this panel?
No.
The trial's been held. And now we're down to the execution, and this is the execution.
Can we leave then? You're going to start executing things.
Yeah.
Well, we execute the Oregon University System, the Chancellor's Office, the State Board of Higher Education, and a few other things in this bill.
Yeah,
and we don't create very much, but we hook things together that need to be hooked together in order for the new operations to function properly.
And for the record, this morning I was told that all the schools except U of O and OHSU have already made their debt service payment for August 1st, which was made a month in advance, was made this morning. So far, we're about 90% of the way towards our new system seems to be functioning well. So
all right.
It's a good thing.
Thank you.
So.
All right, next.
Next you'd have the universities. You have OSU, PSU, and University of Oregon, as well as OHSU.
There he is. Okay, good.
Good afternoon, Representative Barnhart, members of the committee. For the record, Hans Bernard with the University of Oregon, here today to encourage your support of Senate Bill 80 and the conflict amendments before you today. As has been stated on the record, this bill represents numerous months of work by a technical work group, primarily legislative counsel, members of the HEC staff, attorneys representing the universities and the Oregon University system. Again, the focus of this bill was policy or technical changes. Policy decisions were reserved for another vehicle. And while it is a significant piece of work in terms of amount of pages, we feel that it is very technical in nature, and there's nothing to our knowledge that is controversial in the content. This is really a trailing cleanup bill of policy decisions that were made last session, and with the implementation of governing boards at the regional universities, it was time to go through the statutes and remove references to the State Board of Higher Education and university system. So happy to answer any questions you might have, but thank you for your patience as this bill took a while getting to you, and appreciate your expedited support.
Hi, for the record, my name is Debbie Kresge from Portland State University, and I would just add that this past week we had a trip that we needed to make up to Portland, and the Chancellor's Office was putting the final touches on shutting down their operations, and so their website has been archived and taken down. Their email addresses now forward to their new positions at various universities where they've accepted positions, or it sends you a notice to say, so this is the last thing that we need to do to sort of turn the lights off and make sure that the universities can kind of begin our new chapter. So would encourage your support.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Phil Donovan, here on behalf of Oregon Health and Science University. We're here first off in support of Senate Bill 80. As most of you are aware, OHSU has not been a part of OUS for quite some time now. But there were still some references to OUS in the statutes that this bill resolves, and in particular, as written, the bill provides consistency in administration of our debt that's been issued on behalf of OHSU. So our thanks go to the other universities and to the agencies involved. They've been tremendous to work with, and urge your prompt action. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel? Yes, Representative Johnson.
Not really a question, Mr. Chair, but just a statement, I think, of confirmation with our good friends up here. But I think you'll all recall when we passed the legislation, I think, in 2013, that put us on this pathway to eliminate the OUS, to provide for institutional boards. We spent a copious amount of time going through all sorts of legal ins and outs, and Dan Gilbert, of course, remembers those dates. But we did anticipate that there would potentially be some cleanup stuff, some corrections that would need to be made, because inevitably you can never catch everything. So this is the culmination of those efforts. So appreciate you being here. And Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to make a motion or call the question if we're in work session so we can move this vehicle on. Thank you.
Well, Representative Johnson, I think the appropriate motion has to do with the conflict amendment.
Chair, if I may.
Representative Vance.
I think it would be helpful if we had a brief recess.
Thank you. I'd forgotten you'd ask for a recess. The committee will stand in recess for as brief a time as we can manage. A bunch of other stuff going on this afternoon. Committee's in recess.
I can
see the laws. All right. Committee on Revenue will come back to order. Representative Johnson?
And what motion would you like, Mr. Chair?
The amendment. What is it?
A5.
The A5 amendment. That's the conflict amendment we've been discussing.
Mr. Chair, I move the A5 amendments to Senate Bill 80.
Thank you. Representative Johnson moves the A5 amendment to Senate Bill 80. Is there a discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 80 as amended to the floor. With due pass.
Thank you. Representative Johnson moves Senate Bill 80 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Representative Whitsitt, please.
Yes, I would just like to say, in my capacity as a legislator in the state of Oregon, I feel it's my responsibility to read everything that I vote on that's going to take tax money from the state of Oregon to implement. And I think a 40-page amendment is something that I need to look at, and I need to see it before I vote yes on it. And I think that we have left this long enough. We're at the end of session, and now we don't have enough time to read a 40-page amendment. So I'm a no on it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. I understand your frustration, and I share it. The amendment was posted this morning at 10:30, about 10:30. We scheduled it, I think, as soon as we got it from the Senate, the bill. I'm getting a head nod from Mr. Warner, Dr. Warner. And unfortunately, we're in that situation at the end of the session. That's one of the reasons why I asked the people who are most concerned about the operations that they will have to conduct as members of the executive branch or as those who work for universities to testify today about their thoughts about the bill, because if there were problems with that bill, I would have expected them to tell us that. But in general, I agree with your concern. I'm tempted to repeat my oft-repeated quote from the former Speaker of the United States House of Representatives, but I will refrain. And with that, I think we better call the roll. The motion is on sending the bill to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Davis?
Yes.
Representative Johnson?
Yes.
Representative Leininger?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
He's excused.
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt?
No.
Vice Chair Megan Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Betts?
Yes.
Chair Barnhart?
Aye. Motion having received the required majority is adopted, and a bill goes to the floor, and I think I'd better carry it. And with that, the work session is closed. Paul, we're not likely to need to meet again today, are we? I think we're well late enough in the afternoon I can adjourn. All right. The Joint Tax Committee, we hope we'll meet first thing in the morning. Do not be terribly surprised if this committee meets again. We will definitely have to meet again on the tax haven bill, if nothing else. Yeah. Thank you. With that, the committee is adjourned.